Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevames Daf Tesvav. We are holding on Yudal Damit Beis, five lines from the bottom. We're actually in the middle of a discussion. We have a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the eligibility of the Tzaras Erva for Mitzvah Sibum. Is she roi for Yibum or not? So again, we have Reuben and Shimon. Reuben passes away childless. He leaves behind a dual wife situation. Rachel and Leah. Rachel, who's Shimon, the surviving brother's relative, close relative, daughter, aunt, mother-in-law. He may not engage with Rachel even in the context of Yibum, because Yibum does not override Issa of Arayis, as we had a couple of days ago. This is universal, right? The Erva is exempt from Yibum. What about the other women? The Tzara, the accompanying woman, the Tzara. Tzara's Erva, she affected as well? Beis Hillel say yes. Tzara's Erva is not eligible for Yibum, according to Beis Shammai, she is. Now, we follow Beis Hillel. And actually, the Gemara told us it was a basco. It rang out from Shemayim and says, Halacha ki Beis Hillel. So the consensus is Beis Hillel. The question was whether Beis Shammai stuck to their shita. Also Beis Shammai k'divreim, would Beis Shammai carry out their shita, or did they also come over to Beis Hillel and follow Beis Hillel? That was a big shaila we had yesterday. We tried to bring rice one way or the other, and today we'll pick up on that topic once again. We're going to have seven attempts at a raya, try to figure out whether or not Beis Shammai stuck to their shita, or did they actually revert to Beis Hillel's shita, just as the rest of Klal Yisrael. Toshma, listen to this raya from a brisa. We're going to focus on Tzoras Erva once again. What should we do? How should we present? How should we establish this halacha in a way that accommodates all? What should we do with the halacha of Tzoras Abbas? How should we establish it in Klal Yisrael? Nasa kedirei b'shamay? We follow b'shamay, we're in trouble. Havlad mamzel diver b'shilal? If we allow the Tzoras Erva to be misyabim, couldn't be b'shilal? That's terrible, because she's really an erva. If she's potter from Yibim, she's an ordinary sister-in-law, his brother's wife. The resulting child from that union would be a mamzer, according to Beis Hillel. So that's off the table. That's not an option. Okay, now, so could they be Beis Hillel? Should we follow Beis Hillel? Allow this Tzaras Erva to go free and marry out? That's also problematic. It's not an optimal option. How about Pogum? Oh, the Rebbe Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, she's transgressing a law of Loisia, Isha Sameis, Hachutza Lir Zor. Not allowed to marry out if you're meant to be Mesihabim. And the child of this type of union is called Bnei Chayav Elavin, which creates a sort of a stigma, pgam, something less than perfect about this child. And Rashi says, a child can't marry a Kayin. So this girl is ineligible for Kahuna. So we have no real good option here. What should we do? So he says, look, let's strike a compromise which will cover all concerns. Let's decide that the tzaris should not go liyibum, not that far, but let's give them chalitza to accommodate Beis Shammai. This way they're exempt, they have chalitza, they can marry out. That was his suggestion. But it didn't come to reality. They didn't get to conclude the topic. By the time they were ready to finish, time was up, some mishap occurred, they were distracted, and it never came into being. So this solution was never really established. In fact, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel challenged Rabbi Chaminuri's concept. He says, look, why is this a good solution? You're creating a concern, you're creating trouble. Manaslam letzoras harishenis meyata. You know, once you say that a tzoras erva should go for chalitza, what are you saying about the other tzaras up until this point, up until this day, that went to Yibam in following with Shitas Beis Shammai, right? What's going to happen to them? Their children are mamzerim, right? If you establish it as a set halacha, look, no more Yibam, no more going free, we need chalitza. So basically what you're saying is that everything until now was no good, and those that followed Beis Shammai until this point were wrong. And the children are mamzerim. End of discussion. Now it's pretty clear from this discussion that Beis Shammai did carry out their shita. Well, if you say that Beis Shammai did carry it out, that explains why Rav Shimon Gamliel tells him, "Man asa, you're creating trouble. We're gonna negate all those tzaris who married their yavam." Eli Amrus also, but if in any case Beis Shammai would never actually follow and carry out their shita, my man asa, what's the concern here? Nobody actually did it. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. No, he meant like this. Of course, Beis Shammai never actually carried out their shita. Or perhaps they didn't carry. We have no raya that they did. What he meant to say is like this. If you're going to introduce a new concept, a new solution to the same, every tzara ever should go for chalitza. So what's going to happen with the tzara that already married out? Was Nisa Lashuk, married a stranger, not her Yavam, in line with Beis Shammai, right? Sorry, in line with Beis Hillel, that it's Tzoras Erva's not Roy for Yavam. That's what he was focusing on. We're concerned about the Tzoras Erva that married out in accordance with Beis Hillel. When he said Manasa, what should we do with them? He meant to say like this. Hanach Tzoras to Beis Hillel, those Tzoras who followed Beis Hillel Shita and married strangers. So now we're trying to accommodate Beis Shammai and we're trying to apply Chalitza as a universal solution to all situations. Every tzaras ever has to have Chalitza, but these are already married, it's too late. Should do Chalitza now, after they're already married? Lichaltu? It creates an uncomfortable situation between them and their husbands. The husband will be repulsed from them. Look, you went through this Chalitza process, you're not for me. You're still bound to the other husband. It creates a distance, an uncomfortable situation. We can't do that. Okay, so you'll say, fine. That's the way it works. So let it create muse. If you have to do it, you got to do it. That's not the Torah way of life. Torah is beautiful, it's pleasant. You don't create an unpleasant situation. Especially here where halacha dictates that we follow Beis Hillel. So don't introduce new solutions which might just complicate matters. So we attempted to bring a right from here that Beis Shammai actually carried out their shita. And the concern was regarding the tzaris that married the yavams. The Gemara says, no, Beis Shammai did not actually do their shita. The concern here was the other way around, Beis Hillel's shita, which is that the tzara marries out. That creates the concern if we apply chalitza once she marries out. So you have no raya one way or the other. Okay, Tashma, listen to the next raya. I'm trying to figure out whether Beis Shammai actually carried out their shita and allowed the tzaras ever to be misyam. Omer of Tarfim, Tavni, I wish I can encounter the following situation. Mosai Tavai Tzaras Habas Liyadi Vesen. I wish I could encounter a tzaras habas. My daughter's tzara will come to me for yibam. I want to demonstrate in real life that we follow Shitas Beis Shammai. Tafim was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. We had this back in Brachis. He would lie down by Krishna Shal Arvis. He would get up by Krishna Shal Shachris. He was once traveling, he lied down. They told him, look, you endangered yourself and you shouldn't have done it because you're not meant to follow Beis Shammai. He was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. From his expression, isn't it clear that Beis Shammai carried out their Shitas? Emo rather say like this, Va'asiyana. No, he was following Beis Hillel. I wish I experience such a tzara situation, I'll go marry her out, I'll let her go. Like Beis Hillel, that tzara ever is potter from Yibam. But Avni Ka'amar. He used the lashon to Avni, which sounds like it's something unique, something of an anomaly, an unusual situation, which will serve to support Beis Shammai. Because if you're just supporting Beis Hillel, that's common occurrence, that's not a chiddush. Apparently he was trying to find a situation where you can express Beis Shammai Shita. No, we're speaking about Beis Hillel Shita. Lafuki Madrabiach Manuri. He was coming to under Rabbi Yechim Manuri's solution that we had before, the suggestion that everybody should go through chalitza. No, he didn't hold of that. It's inappropriate. I wish I can face a situation of a tzaras ever. Now I'm going to send her free without chalitza. So back to the question. Did Beis Shammai follow through their shittos or not? We're not sure. Tashma, listen to this, Rav. Ma, sababita, shir Rabbi Gamliel. There's a story involving Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. Rabbi Gamliel was a Talmud of Beis Hillel. He was a grandchild of Hillel. So his own daughter was married to who? To his brother. Shoysen Esula Abba. Rabbi Gamliel's brother's name was Abba. La Abba Achav. Right? Abba was the brother of Rabbi Gamliel. Umeis b'lei banim. Abba passes away without children. And Abba had a dual wife situation. Two wives. The daughter of Rabbi Gamliel and another woman, a stranger. Rabbi Gamliel was now the Yavam. Potential Yavam. What did he do? Rabban Gamliel Tsaros. He was Yavam the Tsar of his own daughter. Like Beis Shammai. So you see, Beis Shammai carried out their shittes. One second. Vitispra, can you suggest that? That Rabban Gamliel followed Beis Shammai? You're in the wrong institution. Rabban Gamliel, mitamid Beis Shammai who? Since when is he a Talmud of Beis Shammai? He belonged to Beis Hillel. Why would he follow Beis Shammai? Apparently we're speaking about something. We're missing a fact here to complete the equation, which will explain things. We'll explain things even according to Beis Hillel. We'll justify what happened even according to Beis Hillel. Apparently this era was really not part of the equation. Either she wasn't really married to his brother, or there was a gerushin, she was divorced before he died. Something that we're missing. Elo Shani Bita Shiram Gamliel. What happened was his daughter was an eyeless, the island of Savoy. She's physically unfit to bear children. And in that case, he had a mission back in that base. If the Erva was an islandess, in which case she's not really a proper wife. Well, the Mekach Toz, he never had a mind. He didn't want to marry an islandess. So then she's off the table. The other woman is not considered to have been in the presence of an Erva. She was never married together with that daughter with this husband. She wasn't part of the same household as his daughter. His daughter was really not part of the household. She was an islandess. That explains why he was Miyabim the Tzara. She's not a Tzara's Arab. Plain and simple. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Take a further look at the Brice. Ha Mediktani Sefer. Brice continues. Others say, this is a term referring to Rabbi Meir, that what happened there? Bita Yishram Gamliel, Islandis Hoysu. That Ram Gamliel's daughter was indeed an islandess. That explained why she wasn't really part of the equation. And the other woman was not a terrorist erva. Yeah, who's saying this? Acherim. In disagreement with Tanakama's version of events. Michlal the Tanakama sober. Apparently Tanakama didn't hold she was an islandess. He held Love islandess. She was not an ordinary woman, a healthy woman. Right? They're arguing about what happened. Achira maintained she was an islandess, but Tanakama maintains she was a regular woman. So back to the Kash. If so, then the Tzara is a Tzara's Erva. How could Rabban Gamliel do Yibum on the Tzara's Erva? Answers the Gemara three Tirutz. Really, she was not part of the equation. She wasn't there. So both agree. Tanakama and Achim agree that she wasn't really part of this story. There's a slight difference of opinion as to exactly what happened to bring about that result. Hikirba v'lo hikirba ikibanai. There's slight machlekes regarding halachis of islandness that really doesn't impact our discussion. What was the machlekes? So as she explains, Tanakama holds that it needs to be lo hikirba. He never noticed. He never knew that she was an islandess. In which case he can say, Mekach Tos, it's not what I had in mind. Wrong merchandise. In which case it's not a kedushin, it's not a valid marriage, she's not really part of the family. Right? So that's why she's not part of the equation. It needs to be Lo Hikirba that he hadn't known that she was an islandess. In which case it's considered a Mekach Tos, an invalid transaction. Whereas the Achirim hold, you know what, even if he actually figured out that Yeshua is an Islandess, it still would not impact the Yibum equation. You know why? Because an Islandess is not royally Yibum. She can't bear children. She's not an eligible Yevama, whose purpose is to perpetuate her husband's family, to continue the marriage, the family, and continue his memory as his legacy, right? An Islandess can't do that. She can't bear children. So Achirim disagree on this point. They hold, look, even if the departed husband didn't know that she was an Islandess, he found out she was an Islandess, we would not have to reckon with her when it comes to the Yibum situation. So he found out she was an Islandess, and he passes away. It's as though the Islandess doesn't exist, because she's not part of the Yibum situation. She's not an eligible Yevama. So the other woman, the Tzara, is not considered Tzara's Erva. Because in the context of Yibum, it's as though the Islandess is non-existent. That's how the Mefarshim explained this Shita. Okay, so it's a side point, how to get to the goal of removing the Islandess from our equation. Either because he didn't know, so she was Mekach Toys, he was never really married to her, or because Islandess doesn't really take part of the Yibum, take part in the Yibum scenario. But either way, the other woman was free to be Misyabim. She's not a Tzara's Erva. So we're following Beis Hillel. Tzara's Erva is not a Yivam. She wasn't the Tzara's Erva. He buys him another option to explain the Machlokes is as follows. Konas al b'sayf girish ikir b'nai. We may recall that a couple of days ago we had a Shaila. Mishnah says that if he's Megarishti, the Erva, so the departed brother divorced the Erva in his lifetime, and Bishas, he passes away, there's only one Isha remaining. The Erva's not here anymore. She's not a Tzara's Erva. To what extent do we have to apply the Girushin? Meaning like this. Let's say Reuven, the departed brother, was married to Rachel, who's Shimon's, the surviving brother's relative, daughter, sister, whatever, an Erva. And then he marries Leah. Rachel adds another wife. And only then is he Megarish Rachel. So Rachel and Leah were really part of the same household at a certain point in time, but not at the point of Misa, not at the point of Yibum. By that time, Rachel was gone. Is that enough to remove Rachel from the picture? Or do we say no? Rachel had to have left the family before Leah arrived. Because if she experienced Rachel at any time, she was together with Rachel at any time during Reuven's lifetime. She shared a family with him. She was in the same household as Rachel. At any point in time, she's affected by Rachel. She's called a Tzara's Erva. Even though Rachel wasn't there when Reuven passed away. That was a shaila we had a couple of days ago. And that's going to be the point of contention with Tanna Kamma and Achirim. Tanna Kamma hold that if at any given time the Erva and the Tzara were together in the same household, she's considered a Tzara's Erva. And sorry, the other way around. If the Erva was gone, was removed before the Misa, the other woman is not a Tzara's Erva. And she could be Misyabim, she's a regular Yevama. That explains why Rabbi Gamliel was Miyabim the Tzara. She was not a Tzara's Erva. The Erva was long gone by the time Yibim came around. Whereas Tanna Kamma holds, no. If at any point in time this Isha experienced was in the company of the Erva throughout Reuven's lifetime, that is sufficient to grant her a Shem to her. So she's affected by the Erva, even though the Erva was removed from the scene before Misa, before Yibam. The only way Rav Gamliel was able to marry the Tzara was because the Erva turned out to be an Islandess, unable to bear children, in which case the entire deal was cancelled, the entire transaction was invalidated, entire marriage was retroactively removed and cancelled. So Alice was never part of the family to begin with. So because of that, the other woman was not a tzaras ever, and she was royally evil. So this is the point of machlekes. To what extent do we say gerushin is effective in eliminating this Hashem, this halach of tzaras erva? At what point in time does the gerushin have to take place? Before the tzara's arrival, or even after her arrival, as long as before the yibum? Another pshat in the machlekes is ibo yisema yeish tznai bebia ika benayu. So once again, all agree, Tanakama, Achim agree that there was no concern of tzaras erva. The question is why? The question is what happened to remove that din of tzaras erva? So if a person is Mekadesh Isha, on condition that there is nothing wrong with you, condition that you have no nidarim commitments, it turns out she misled him. Mekach Tos. The condition is invalid. What happens if he proceeds to Nisuin? He marries her. They engage in marital relations. So at that point, do things change or not? Tanakama holds, it's irrelevant where they stand. Engaged, married, it doesn't matter. He stated it tonight. He preconditioned it. If he was misled, it's over. That's what happened here as well. Abba, who is the brother of Ram Gamliel, had expressed it tonight, had preconditioned his marriage with Ram Gamliel's daughter, and that condition was not fulfilled. That's it. Off the table. She's off the scene. The other woman is not a tzaras erva. Therefore, she is muta libum. Acherim hold differently. True. At the engagement period, tonight holds, conditions hold, but once you get past that, the relationship gets very close, at that point he's meichel the tonight. He doesn't want the be'ilot, to be blasnus, so he forgives the tonight. So, and that was the story here. So tonight is ineffective at this point. So although the erva misled the brother, but she's considered his wife, because it's too late, it's after the fact. So why is she off the table? Why is she off the scene? Because she was an islandess. An Alice is a mekach tos. So basically we have three ways of explaining the machlekes between Tanakam and Acherim as to the exact reason and basis for the heter in this particular case, which allowed Ram Gamliel to marry Tzoras Bitoy. But typically, Tzoras Erva is also in accordance with Beis Hillel. In this case, it wasn't a tzaras erva, she was mutter. So we made another attempt at trying to figure out whether Beis Shammai followed through their sheep. We couldn't figure it out. Here comes another right. Maaser Rav Misharshe. We have a kasha from a brais. Maas Rav Akiva. We know there's a machlekes between Beis Shammai, who hold that the Rosh Hashanah for trees is Echad B'Shvat, and Beis Hillel, who hold Tes Vav B'Shvat, like we do today, two B'Shvat. Now, Rosh Hashanah Elul means as follows. We know that every year, throughout the Shemitah, 7-year Shemitah period, there's a different halacha when it comes to Trumas and Masrus. Actually, Masrus. They change as the years go by. For instance, years 1 and 2 are years for Masr Sheni. Year number 3, you give the Masr to the Ani instead of making Masr Sheni. Years 4 and 5, it reverts back to Masr Sheni. Year 6 is Masr Ani. Now, what's the cutoff point? What's considered the end of the year and the beginning of the next year, either Echad B'Shvat according to Beis Shammai, that's when the Maser changes. So anything that buds after Echad B'Shvat of the coming year belongs to the coming year and has the coming year's Maser status. Anything that budded beforehand belongs to last year's crop. So according to Beis Shammai, it's Echad B'Shvat. According to Beis Hillel, it's Tu B'Shvat. Maser B'Rabbi Akiva. There was an incident involving Rabbi Akiva. Shaliket Esrek Be'echad B'Shvat. He picked his Esrek tree on the first day of Shvat. V'nag by Beis Yisur, and he applied a double Maser. So let's say it was year 2 going into year 3. He picked it Echad B'Shvat. So according to Beis Shammai, it belongs to the next year. After Echad B'Shvat, next year's Maser. According to Beis Hillel, it's still part of last year's crop, because it's still before Tu B'Shvat, belongs to last year. So what did he do? He applied both Maasers. He separated Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. Taisus in And Sukkah actually explains how he did it. He separated Maser Sheni and transferred the Kedusha onto money, took that money to Yerushalayim and spent it like Maser Sheni, and took the fruit and gave it to the Hanim. That's how he did it. So the Noeg Boy Bezi Surin, he applied a double Maser to accommodate both Shittas. Echad Gedivir Beshami, Echad Gedivir Beshilal. So he followed both Shittas. Shmamina also. Isn't this a right that Beshami followed, they carried out their Shittas? And therefore, the Kippur decided to follow them as well. Try to be Machman like everybody. Answers the Gemara, no. Perhaps we all follow Beis Hillel only. Rabbi Kiva Gemara is topically. Rabbi Kiva was unsure as to the exact version of how he learned. He wasn't sure Beis Hillel be'echad b'shvat amr. He was trying to follow Beis Hillel, but he couldn't remember what Beis Hillel hold. They hold of be'echad b'shvat, oy b'tezvah b'shvat amr. Or did they speak about Tu B'Shvat? He wasn't sure. So he did both options. So you have no raya, one way or the other. Masiv Mazutra, he has a kasha like this. We're going to see that Bishamai followed through, they were machmer, when they held that it's appropriate. Masiv Yalda Kalosha Shal Shammai Hazakin. There was a story involving Shammai Hazakin's daughter-in-law. She gave birth, either on or very close to Sukkahs, and Shammai holds that even a little baby belongs in the Sukkah. Sukkah is a family experience. Everybody comes in, even the newborn baby. But the draft can hurt him. So they kept him in the house and they turned the house into a sukkah. Opiche says a maziva. So he ruled the cement coating from the floor, from the ceiling. Vesicha chagabe mita. And he took off the boards and put schach right there. On the mita, over the bed, over the cradle, bishul katan, to keep the katan in the sukkah. Shmamina also. It's pretty clear that according to Beis Shammai, you meant to follow through. Says the Gemara, Hosam Aroya Imer LaAfushi Aver DeKa'avet. Remember, what's the reason why we don't follow divergent shittas? Why don't we make agudis agudis to avoid machlokes and discord amongst Klal Yisrael? Well, if there's any way to excuse what you're doing in a non-confrontational alibi, then you're okay. So this fellow seeing Shammai pulling off the roof would just say, look, kid needs some fresh air. He wouldn't attribute it to Shittas Beis Shammai and the Chumrah of having to sit in the Sukkah. Hasam Haroya, the observer, would just say, I'm probably trying to increase the airflow. So in that case, it wouldn't be a concern. But in a case where it's apparent, it's obvious that Beis Shammai is insisting on their Shita, in contrast to Beis Hillel, that would pose a problem. Masav Mazutra, here comes another kash. Masav B'Sheikis. Sheikis is a feeding trough which contains water. So there's a Sheikis Yehu, that's what it was called. Sheikis B'Yushalayim. Voisim Nekuva L'mikv. This Sheikis was punctured. Had a hole going from itself to a mikvah which contained a shear of a mikvah. Halacha is, it's something that's connected to a mikvah. We do today, the mikvahs that we use are not really the original mikvah. With the rainwater, it's connected to the rainwater mikvah. As long as the hole is large enough. So according to Beis Shammai, the hole has to be like a crack in the wall. Most of the wall has to be split. According to Beis Hillel, just a little round hole, size of like two fingers is enough. So this Sheikis Yehu was punctured. Was connected to a mikvah. But this is the place that everybody tabled their kelim and used it for taharis. Beis Shammai sent somebody to go there and crack open the wall, so this way it's a proper hole, proper connection, in accordance with their sheet. The wall separating the mikvah from the other body of water has to be split most of the way through. Utanan, but we learned the accepted halacha is different. Irav mikvah is how do you mix together the bodies of water? Kshefer samnayit. The hole has to be large enough to accommodate this little straw, this little pipe, so to speak, used for the noid, which they used to draw out liquid from this pouch. A very narrow pipe. Ba'ivya b'chalola, the size of its thickness of its walls and the only hollow space inside, basically full size of this cylinder. How large is it? Kishteetz boys, it's like two finger widths. Chayzus lam kaimen, which just make their way around, meaning loosely, fitting two fingers. That's what kind of circle you need. You don't need more than that. And here Beis Shammai insisted on cracking the wall down. Shmamin Asu. It's pretty clear that Beis Shammai followed their shittas. Hassam says the Gemara there as well. There's no concern of machlekes because it could be attributed to practical concerns. Hassam Arroyo, Eman, the observer can just say, Afushim Mayu to Ka'avi, they're just trying to increase the water flow. They're not trying to follow Beis Shammai. It's not going to create a machlekes. Tashma, here comes another raya. And this raya is going to be a proper raya, unchallenged. Don Rablazar Tzadik. He relates the following story. Shall you see Leim Torah? Eitz Rabbi Yechanan Charoni. When I used to learn Torah, Rabbi Yechanan, Ra'isi Shahiyah Eichel Paschareva. I noticed that he's eating dry bread, b'melach with salt, b'shnei batzeres, in days of famine. He was short food. Basi v'idatis abbas, I came to my father, Rab Tzadik, and I tell him, look at this Tzadik, he's surviving on just minuscule food. Amarli, so he tells me, give him something to eat, hoyachli zesim, bring him some olives. V'lachtili, I delivered the olives to him. Ra oisen shein lachan, he notices that they're moist. That they contain the moisture from the barrel that they were in. Amali, he tells me, no, I'm keeping away. I don't need olives. He was concerned about the fact that when something becomes wet, it becomes hukshel kabo tumah, susceptible to tumah. He didn't want to get involved in tumah. Perhaps it became tummy. Now, the truth is that this wetness, this moisture, just happens. You know, when these zaysim sit around, they sweat, so to speak. They get moist. It's not something that the owner really enjoys and really wants. That's interesting, Shaila. Is that called mashke l'rotzen? Is that called a mashke that was brought about willingly? Only that type of mashke, only that type of liquid has the ability to be machsher, to moisturize the item and make it royal kabal tumah. So Rabbi Yechanan held that it is a concern. Any moisture contained in that barrel of olives is considered mashka that comes about through consent, and it's makabel tumah. So he didn't want to take part in these days. He's concerned that perhaps Nama Arit touched him. He didn't want to become tum. Okay, so seeing this, I went back to my father. Basi v'idati es abba, informed my father about Rabbi Yechanan's hesitation. Amali, he tells me, go back to him. Leich ve'emerlei, go tell him there's no concern in this case because I explicitly didn't want that moisture. And I stated as such. I expressed it as such. Chabas nekuvah ha'isa, this barrel is really punctured. It was deliberately punctured so that the juice falls out. And Rashi says, once you're a megaladas, you've demonstrated your dissatisfaction with that moisture, it doesn't count. It's not going to be machshir. Well, if it was punctured, why is it wet? It was just a small shmarm. It was blocked off with sediments. But that's not called mashke, that's metame, that's machshir. Utanan, as we learned, chav is shozeisim megulgal. You have a barrel filled with stuff with olives, megulgal, and pressed together, which sweat, generate this moisture. Is that moisture able to be machshir? Machlekes. V'shama oimim ein tzricha l'nakev. You don't have to. You don't have to puncture the barrel because that moisture, as she says, is made peiros. It's just considered like fruit juice. Ah, that's the reason. The reason why, sorry, I didn't realize. The reason why the moisture coming out of these olives are not going to be machshir according to Beis Shammai is because it's made peiros. You know, only very specific juices and liquids have the ability to bring about heksher. There's a simon for it. Yad shachat dam. Yad is yayin, dvash, shachat is shemen, chalav, tes is tal, and dam is, well, dam, and mayim. So only those seven liquids have the ability to do so, but just apple juice, orange, it's not a prominent enough liquid that has the ability to be machsher. So what about this moisture emanating from those olives? Is it really oil? Not really. You haven't really pressed those olives, just like some sort of sweaty moisture. So according to Beis Shammai, don't worry about it. You don't have to puncture the barrel. That moisture is not reckoned with. It's not going to be machshir. U'bisil oimim tzricha l'nakev. Yeah, he says, b'sil hold that even this type of mayhel, Rashi calls it a mayhel, this type of moisture is considered like oil. it's like a, it's close enough in nature to oil, and therefore we treat it like oil. It's machshir the olives, unless you demonstrate your own willingness to accommodate this moisture. You puncture the barrel so that it runs out. In which case, it's not going to be machshir lekavotum. Umoidim, even Basil agree, Shem Nikva, that if he did puncture it, it's a small shmarim, and it was just blocked up, plugged up by sediment. That's not it. That's not a, it doesn't reverse. The halacha sheitoyra remains tar, because he was megalad das, he doesn't want it. Brisa continues, v'afal pishat talmud shamay haya. So in reality, here we find that b'shamay is mekel. This Jews doesn't have the ability to do anything. B'sila the machmer. So even though Rabbi Yechon Charoni was really a talmud of shamay, in which case there's no concern about the mayhal of the zaysim. Kol ma'asav le'osu al k'dir b'sila, he would be machmer like b'sila, and he followed b'sila all through. All throughout, and therefore, in this case, he was machmer. He didn't want to have those olives until he was told that it was really not a concern. End quote. That's the price. Let's analyze the price. If Beis Shammai would carry out their shittos, so typically they would just follow their shita, despite the fact that the halacha is kebeis hilal. Haynu rabuse, this is a chiddush. If you have Rabbi Yechonah, Talmud of Beis Shammai would follow Beis Hilal. He would. Separate himself from the pack and follow Beis Hillel. That's a chiddush. That explains why it's a chiddush. Eli Amos Leyosu, but if none of Beis Shammai actually follow their shittas, my Rabusi, what's the chiddush here? Pretty clear, Raya, that Beis Shammai v'asu kedivrayim. Toshma, here comes another Raya. Shalus Rabbi Yeshua. They once asked Rabbi Yeshua. You know the famous machloek is about Tzoras Erva. What should we do l'mayis? What's the halacha? Tzoras Abbas. Mao. Does the Tzoras Habas go to Yibim or not? Amar Lehem, he tells them, don't get me involved. Machlekes, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. This is an old Machlekes. So he asked him, Valach Kedir Emi? Okay, so what do we do? Amar Lehem, he says, why are you getting me involved? Ipnei Ma'ata Machnisan Reishi. Why are you inserting my head, Bein Shnei Yarem Gedoylem, in between two large mountains, Bein Shnei Machlekes Gedoylis? Two big Machlekes, two big institutions here, Bein Shammai, Beis Hillel. I don't want to get involved. Monsieur, I'm petrified. Shema Yarutsu Gulgalti. They're gonna crush my brain. Rashi explains, if I'm gonna say that the Shama is in the wrong, it turns out that they were Miyabim an Erevim, children of Mamzerim. I don't get involved in that. But I'll tell you one thing. Listen to me. One little story I'll tell you. I'm not going to express my personal opinion, but I'll tell you a story. Aval ani meid lechem. I can testify to you. Al shtei mishpachas gdoilus. Shoyi b'Yerushalayim. The two great families in Yerushalayim. One was mishpachas beis tzvuim, mi'ben achmoy. The other one was mishpachas beis kepoim, ben b'shkoishish. Interesting name, ben b'shkoishish. These families contained elements that were questionable. Shehem b'nei tzaris. These families consisted of children of Tzorah's Erva that went to Yibam. Umayhem Kahanim Gedoylem. And members of these families were Kahanim Gedoylem. Vishim Shalagam Mizbeach, who served in Mizbeach. That's all I'm going to tell you. He's trying to pretty much support Beis Hillel, right? Tzorah's Erva's Mutal Ashuk. Can marry out? Look, we have families, established families, Kahanim Gedoylem. Products of its source erva that married out. Okay, this was the story. This was the price. Let's analyze the price. Iyamas b'shleima asu. You see, initially, Rishu hesitated. He said, I don't want to get involved. So this makes sense if Beis Shammai actually carried out their shittos. And they applied Yibam by its source erva. And then, now, according to Beis Hillel, that's a huge problem. Karis, mamzerim. Haino tegam mesiarni. That explains why he expressed himself in such great grave fashion. Look, I'm not going to get involved. I'm afraid of this. Eli Amos also, but if Beis Shammai never carried out the shittas at all, regardless, why couldn't he say his opinion? Why was he afraid to state his opinion? Beis Shammai never applied Yibam Lamaisa to a Tzoras Erva. So apparently they did. apply Yibum to a Tzara Yisrael, and that's why he was afraid to express his opinion. Stop 1 second. Pause. When he named the Asr, okay, let's say, granted, you've proven that Beis Shammai follow their Shitas. But still, why would he be afraid to state his opinion? There's no Mamzerim here. My Miss Yarni, why am I afraid? Ha Amar Bishua, Bishua himself said, Ein Mamzer, Ela Machayave, Mrs. Bezdin. It's all shaila about how Mamzer comes about, if it's only in a Kara situation, even a Kara situation, or just a case of Mrs. Bezdin. Rabbi Shua is of the opinion that only Mrs. Bezdin creates Mamzer. So union that involves Mrs. Bezdin, that creates Mamzer, as opposed to Tzaras Erva. So although she's not meant to be Mesiyah Makon to be Sil, but at worst case, it's just a Karis, which is relatively lighter than a Mrs. Bezdin. Karis is addressed from Shammai, Mrs. Bezdin by the Bezdin. So Karis is relatively lighter, right? The sister-in-law is just Karis, or brother's wife. So that child is not a Mamzer. Why would he hesitate to express his opinion? At worst, what's the worst thing that can happen? Beis Shammai had the Tzaras Erva married the Yavam, so it's a wife's brother's wife. It's just Mrs. Bezdin. And there's no Mamzer. Says the Gemara. Sorry, it's just Karis. And Mamzer is only generated by Mrs. Bezdin. So why didn't he get involved? Why was he afraid to state his opinion? Says the Gemara, true. 100%. Nihi nami de mamzer lehavi. True. A child from this union is not a mamzer, according to Rabbi Shua. Not so severe, but pogam miyuhavi. He's still somewhat illegitimate. There's something wrong. There's some stigma there. He can't marry a kohen. Or she can't marry a kohen. Right? A daughter from this union can't marry a kohen. How do we know that? Mikal v'chayim almana. We learn it from the almana. Ma almana. She'in isur na'ig b'koil. If an almana marries a kohen gadol, we learn from Sukkim that she becomes unfit. She can no longer marry any kohen. An almana, a widow, can marry a kohen headed, but not a kohen gadol. She goes and marries a kohen gadol. It affects her. She can no longer marry any kohen. She becomes nischalel. She's disqualified from marrying any kohen, and her children as well. Her daughter can't marry a kohen. So, if an almana has this halacha, even though almana is a very specific iser, it's an iser limited to a kohen gadol. Uma almana she'ini surah negev ha'koil. It's not an iser which applies to everybody, but not a pogam still. A child from this union is called a pogam and may not marry a kohen. Zu, this woman, Tzaras Erva, which is another way of saying a sister-in-law, right? According to Basila, she's his brother's wife. She is Surah Shavu Bakoil, which is a universal Isser. Applies to everybody equally, a Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. Certainly, a child from this type of union is disqualified from Kahuna. And therefore, says Rabbi Shua, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to express my opinion. I'm concerned about Beis Shammai attacking me. Because if I say that we're meant to follow Beis Hillel, I'm really saying that all those cases, all those Tzaras Erva, where Yibum was applied, according to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, that's a major problem. Mrs. Bezdin creates a pogrom. Okay. In any case, it's pretty clear from the Brice that Beis Shammai did carry out their shittos. But let's analyze the Brice a bit further. What happened here with Rabbi Shua? Let's analyze this conversation. Kabo min Tzoros. Brisa begins. They approach Rabbi Shua. What happens to Tzoros Abbas? Could you give us the halacha about Tzoros Abbas? And how did he respond? He totally avoided the topic. V'kapashet lehu b'nei Tzoros. He responds, he says, I don't want to get involved, but I'll tell you a story with a family that contained elements of b'nei Tzoros. There were members in that family that were children of a Tzoros ever that was Mesiyabim. So they asked him apples, he responded oranges. They asked him both things. Firstly, Tzoros Mai. Is a Tzoros eligible for Yibum, number one? And if you'll say that we follow Beis Hillel Shita when it comes to Tzoros, they don't go to Yibum. What happens in a case where there was Yibum? Suppose somebody followed through. Somebody applied Beis Shamishit. B'nei Tzores, the Beis Hillel. Le Beis Shamay Mau. The other way. What happens to the children of these Tzores who married out in line with Beis Hillel? What happens to those children? According to Beis, what do Beis Shammai hold about the, what's the Beis Shammai's opinion about the children of Tzores that married out? So two things they wanted to know. Yibum by Tzores ever, yes or no? Number two. Let's say Beis Hillel allowed the Tzores to marry out. No Yibum. They had children. According to Beis Shammai, it's problematic because she's not allowed to marry out. There's a lav involved. What happens to those children? Can they marry a kain or not? Are they stigmatized by that union? Ma, what is Allah? Now you'll ask me, what's the point of discussing this? We're Beis Hillel people. Who cares what Beis Shammai will hold about the children of those? It's a conceptual shaila. It's a theoretical question that has other applications. What's the point of asking this question? L'mivsha, to figure out the halacha by another case. V'lad machzer grushasoi l'Beis Hillel. If one remarries a divorcee after she remarried, so he divorces, she remarries, she marries somebody else, and he takes her back. If the other person dies or gives gerush, that's us, you're not allowed to do that. That's a problematic marriage. What happens to the children of this marriage? A child resulting from an isser. Machzer grushasoi l'Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, what would happen in this case? Basically, what he's saying is, this is unrelated to Yibum. What happens in the case of machzer grushasoi and there's a child resulting? Should we apply that kavachem that we just mentioned from the Almanel Kain Gadol? We'll say Ma Almanel Kain Gadol Sheini Surah Shav Bakol. If a child from a union involving an Almanel with Kain Gadol, which isn't really a universal Isra, it's a specific Isra for this Kain Gadol, but no Pagam, still the child is affected and cannot marry a Kain. Zushi Surah Shav Bakol, a Masav Bishasa, which is a universal Isra, applies to all equally. Certainly, the child of this experience is pogum. Ein edin shebna pogum. That's one way. Edim, or you can say, can draw a distinction between almana in this case. Ikel mirfa can challenge the kavachem. Mal almana. Almana is different. Because it affects her as well. The almana herself is now disqualified from kuhuna because she entered in a problematic kuhuna relationship with a kohen gadol. And Rashi brings down that affects the isha as well. It makes her disqualified from marrying a kohen any further. Mal almana shehi yatsum is chalelas. She herself becomes affected, so that carries over to the child. But perhaps a machzer grushasoi, no. In as much as it's a lav, it's an isser, but it doesn't affect the isha, because she could still go on and marry a kohen. So perhaps it won't affect the child. That was their shaila. So basically, it wasn't just a local question by a child of a tzara, which isn't really relevant to Beis Hillel, because according to them, it's mutter. Tzores Abbas marries out. But it was more of a theoretical question. Going to be a shamer that a Tzores Abbas is not allowed to marry out. And she marries out, despite the law. What happens to the child of this marriage? So although it's not really relevant to us based little people, because she's mut, but it's more of a theoretical question. Is a child created through this law union become disqualified for kuna? And the other application would be for the relevant application would be for Masa Grishasai. What happens in that case? Is the child pogam or not? And he responded to both questions. When he responds to them, you have two good questions. Regarding the question of Tzoris Erva, Shimutalibim or Asa, I'm not going to get involved. Miss Yarni, I'm not going to get involved in that. Because I'm scared. If I have to say that Tzoris Erva is Asa, in effect what I'm saying is that Tzoris Erva that went and married the Yabim according to Beishama did terribly Surim. This is better than the child's mom's. I'm not going to get involved in that. So one down. The other question of B'nai Tzores, what happens to the children of the Tzores that married out, which according to Beis Shammai is a lav. According to Beis Shammai, the child of a lav relationship become pogum, and enough community will be for us, for the Machzer Grushasoi. That I'll tell you. I have no problem discussing that. Ani Meid Lachem, I have what to testify to you from these families in Yerushalayim, upstanding families, Kehanim Gedoilim. Served in Beis HaMikdash. Apparently, even Beis Shammai agrees that a child of a love in relationship, right? According to Beis Shammai, Tzoris ever marrying out is a love. She regularly not marry out. The child is a ben chayv elavin. Still, they were kashal lakuna. Apparently, we see that a child resulting from a union involving a love, such as machzer grushasoi, would not affect her kahuna status. Okay, so bottom line is we had 7 or 8 attempts at proving our point. Did Beis Shammai follow through in their shita? So we failed at our first 5 or 6. When we turned the page, we had 2 solid riots, one from the story of the olives, and one with the story of Rabbi Shua, that indeed Beis Shammai was asu kedivrei. Haslacha rabbi to you, and psura is tevis.